This morning, the scripture I'll be reading can be found, Psalm 37, verses 1 through 11, on page 874 and 875 in your pew Bibles. Do not fret because of evil men, or envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found, but the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace.
Life has many joys and adventures and triumphs. It also has many problems, such as finances or job pressures, deadlines, school assignments, grades to keep up. However, I would say that the problems which are the most difficult to handle, the problems that hurt the most, are the conflicts that we have with other people. We get troubled the most by family arguments, by broken friendships, by misunderstandings with people. Sometimes it's the pettiest little things that can get totally blown out of proportion that cause us the greatest grief. But it can just tear you up inside when someone is angry with you, and you know that, or you just can't seem to get along with somebody. Much of the time, things can get worked out. We know that. Blame can be equally distributed. Each person owns up to his own mistakes or his lost temper. Sin is confessed, apologies are made, forgiveness is asked for, forgiveness is extended, and forgiveness is received. Especially in the Christian community, this should be the rule, not just the exception. People who hang on to petty grievances or who really just can't take responsibility for their own part in a conflict really need a refresher course in just basic grace and love. Conflicts are inevitable. They're going to happen anywhere, to anybody. But most of them can be and should be resolved by just applying a little Christian character. But once in a while, however, a conflict will arise where the blame is not mutual. You are not at fault, or the matter is not at all trivial. It's of deep and lasting significance. And for whatever reason, you have found yourself with an enemy, or someone who's angry with you and wants to hurt you, or he's already hurt you and wants to hurt you some more. There seems to be sometimes an ulterior motive in everything that is said and done at that point. Lies are told. Gossip is spread. Accusations are made. Schemes are devised to turn others against you. And you can't think of anything that you have done that is deserving of such unfair treatment. Perhaps there has been abuse of various kinds. Perhaps you were physically or sexually or verbally abused in your past, and you never just forget something like that. Now, the initial reactions when something like this happens are that of hurt and sadness and loss and anger. But soon, another emotion sets in, an emotion that runs deeper than any of these other emotions that I mentioned, an emotion that is so strong that it can just tear you up from the inside, and it can disrupt your life more than anything else possibly could. I'm talking about bitterness. Bitterness is an understandable emotion. Now, not so much when it's over something petty or when you are just as much at fault as anybody else. You know, some people are just bitter about things for years and years that they have no right to be bitter about. And all I can really say to that is just grow up. Let it go. You can get past it. Get yourself a life and move on. But when you have felt victimized and you have felt utterly betrayed, unfairly treated, then bitterness is something that can set in very easily and stay there. And who can blame you for it? Who wouldn't be bitter when those things happen to you? Well, what exactly is bitterness? Now, usually when we say something is bitter, we're referring to something that tastes bad, that acrid taste that is left in your mouth that you just need to wash out, or you just can't stand it anymore. So bitter. Well, the emotion of bitterness is much the same thing. An awful remnant of something very distasteful is left in your mind and in your heart. And as long as that is there, there's this sickening feeling, a feeling of resentment and of spite and even hatred. But when there is that bitter taste in your mouth, what do? You can't do anything until you get rid of it. You rinse your mouth, you spit it out, you eat a breath mint until that bitter taste is gone. So why can't we do the same thing when there's bitterness in our soul? Well, I believe that Hebrews 12:15 gives us a hint as to why that is true. It says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God, or the NASB says, no one comes short of the grace of God, that no bitter root or no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. The emotion of bitterness is like a root that runs deep. We may be able to chop off that exterior product, but the root can remain and continue to grow and to cause that sickening emotion to come back again and again. Kind of like a yard full of dandelions or weeds. You know, unless you use fertilizer to get to the root of that, or get on your hands and knees and actually pull them out by the root, they're going to come back. You might be able to mow them down with a lawnmower, but sure enough, they're going to pop right back up in a few days because the roots are still underground. As long as the roots are still there, you're going to have dandelions in your yard. They're really not that bad, are they? It's nice, pretty shady yellow. You know? But bitterness is a root. You may be able to get rid of the outward manifestations of bitterness, but as long as that root is still there, that sickening feeling is going to return again and again to harden your heart and to harm your relationship to God. So we're going to talk this morning about how to get rid of the root of bitterness. Not just the outward manifestation, but the root. The passage that Greg read for us this morning was written by King David. David was someone who struggled with bitterness. We know from many other of the Psalms that he wrote how hurt and angry he was over how he had been treated. He had been the victim of some tremendous injustice, and he had acquired many enemies due to his problems and his conflicts with other people. Now, granted, in some of those situations, David got what he deserved. He had done some scheming and conniving himself and brought on a lot of his own heartache upon himself. And he was the first one to admit that and to confess his sins and to try to rectify them. But there were also times in his life when he did not deserve the treatment that he received from those who had appointed themselves as his enemies. You know, we know King Saul was certainly one of those people. It's obvious from many of the Psalms that David wrote that he had a lot of anger, and that this root of bitterness inside him toward those who had treated him so unfairly had grown strong and deep. This psalm, Psalm 37, is probably written toward the end of David's life, tells us how David dealt with that bitterness and how he got rid of it. And it teaches us how we can do the same. I would say that the theme of this passage is a phrase that David uses three times in these 11 verses. Starting with verse 1, says, do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. Verse 7 says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. And verse 8, refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. Do not fret. Or as I learned in the King James, fret not thyself. Literally, that word fret has to do with the term for heat, and you could translate it as do not get heated. It's kind of an ancient way of saying just keep your cool, dude. It's all right. Notice that it is just the first of many imperatives in this passage. Imperatives are commands where we're told do this, don't do that. That's an imperative. It starts right, do not fret. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently. Refrain from anger. Turn from wrath. These are all imperatives. And we could take each one of these imperatives and see how they could help to uproot bitterness in our lives. But to make things easier, I'm going to try to summarize them into three main categories. The first category, I will say, is simply to wait. Just wait. Verses 2 and 10 are true about everything that is based on time, and it's true about whatever it is that might cause you to be bitter. Verse 2 says, like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Verse 10 says, a little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. In other words, nothing earthly lasts forever. Before you panic and say, oh, my life has been destroyed because of what has been done to me, just wait. Just rest in the Lord. Things won't always be this way. It may seem like it sometimes, but they will not. The Lord is in control, and sometimes you can do more damage in situations by trying to do something about your enemy than just if you would just wait and let God take care of it. Look ahead to the consequences of scheming. You know, the only way a scheme is going to work is if the victim falls into the trap of the scheme and reacts the way the schemer wants him to. And so by simply waiting, for one thing, you are not falling into anybody else's trap. And another thing, you are not having to depend on somebody reacting a certain way for your scheme to work. So that's the first step. Don't let bitterness control what you do. If you need to do something, don't let it be because of the fact that you're bitter. Let it be for some other reason. Otherwise, just wait. A second generalization I can make from these imperatives of Psalm 37 is this. Change your focus of attention. It's very easy to become preoccupied with your feelings of anger and bitterness. Someone has done something to hurt you, and it's all you can think about. You can't get it off your mind. You think about it when you wake up and when you go to bed. And that's natural. It's normal. If you've been hurt that badly, this is what has happened to you. But if you really want to get rid of that bitterness, you need to think about something else. Now, some people really don't want to get rid of their bitterness. They kind of enjoy holding on to it. They live to be bitter. I think maybe it's a way that they can maintain a certain amount of control over their lives or those that have caused them pain, as long as they can remain bitter. And all I can say to such people is that sooner or later, your bitterness is going to eat you alive. It will destroy anything of true and lasting value in your life. And you will regret what your bitterness has done to you far more than you regret what ever evil or injustice has been done to you. But if you really want to get rid of the bitterness, you know what's there, you don't like it, you don't like what it's doing to you, then change your focus of attention. Think about something else. And we're given here in these imperatives lots of other things to think about. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way to Him. Trust in Him. In other words, think about all the good things in your life. You think you don't have any? Better think again. Think about your family and your friends who love you. Think about all the wonderful things surrounding life in Jesus Christ. Think about your salvation from your own sins. Think about the fellowship that you can have with other believers. Think about the opportunities that you can have to serve the Lord in so many different ways and so many different places and venues, right here in church or in your home or in your neighborhood or at your job or at your school. Delight yourself in those things. Don't reject them because of your feelings of bitterness. Surround yourself with those things. You know, don't avoid them because you're just not feeling up to it. You know, so many bitter people end up slacking off in their service to God when actually that is the very thing that can rescue them from it. If you're blaming God for your troubles, well, you're wrong about that. It's not His fault. Go ahead and tell Him about your feelings. Tell Him about the bad things that have happened to you. He wants to hear you pour out your heart to Him. He wants to hear you share your burdens and your heart and the bitterness that you feel. But then He wants you to pour out your life for Him. Delight yourself in the many wonderful things of God. And as verse 4 says, He will give you the desires of your heart. That's a promise. When you take delight in the Lord and the things of God, then nobody's scheming, nobody's gossip, nobody's lying, nobody's abuse can take those things away from you. It's a choice that you make to change the focus of your attention. Now, I'm not trivializing the bad thing that might have happened to you that has made you bitter. I'm not saying, oh, just don't let it bother you. Of course it's going to bother you. You can't help that. But don't let yourself become so preoccupied and self-absorbed in it that it can easily turn into an obsession and that root of bitterness. So delight yourself in the Lord. There are things to take delight in, even when you're hurting. All right, well, you might be saying, okay, so what am I supposed to do? Just wait for everything to blow over and then find something else to do until it does? Well, I guess that is what I'm saying. But that's not all I'm saying. The third summary of these imperative statements in Psalm 37 is to act constructively. Repent from evil and do good. The most natural reaction when you have been treated unfairly is to use the weapons that have been used against you against others. There seems to be a sense of fairness about that, doesn't there, Bob? Seems like it's only the just thing to do. If somebody lies about you or schemes against you or gossips about you, you feel that you should be permitted to at least do the same to them, or at the very least to tell everybody else what's been done to you. But you know something? All that is destructive. It tears down and does not build up. And it does absolutely nothing to remove the bitterness from the depths of your soul. The only action that you need to be taking is positive action. You need to resist that urge to do anything that's negative. As the imperatives in Psalm 37 tell you, refrain from anger. It's assuming you already are angry. It doesn't say don't be angry, but refrain from it. Turn from wrath. You have the wrath, deservedly so, but turn from it. Don't fret. Do good. Maybe there's nothing good to do except just to leave the situation in the Lord's hands. Maybe there's nothing else to do. But there's lots of other good things that you can do for other people. And doing good for others is going to help to remove that bitterness that otherwise you have nothing to do with. Or else your bitterness is just going to remain. There's no sweetness in revenge, even though the old saying says so. It just doesn't take away your pain. But rather act constructively. Do good. Find somebody who needs help and do good for them. Serve the Lord in His church and in the many different other venues that you have in your home and in your family. Act constructively and you will find that your bitterness is gone. It disappears. Now, believe me, I know these things are a lot easier said than done. It's easy for me to stand up here and say these things when I'm not the one going through what you're going through, perhaps. But I firmly believe that the only way to not fret through your life is to obey these imperatives. Wait on the Lord. Things will not always be the same as they are right now. As verse 9 says, evil men will be cut off. As verse 6 says, that truth and justice will shine. And then change your focus of attention. And I don't mean to pretend your feelings don't exist or to bottle them up inside. That's the worst thing you can do. David sure never did that. So go ahead, admit them. Tell them to God. Tell someone close to you all about it. Find a counselor, a Christian counselor that you can just tell about what's happened to you. I recommend that very much. But then move on to something else. Don't become preoccupied with your own bitterness. And then act constructively. Don't become so concerned with what is fair and with getting even. Don't scheme to get other people on your side. Then you're just being reduced to the level of your enemy. Rather build and grow, concentrating on doing the work of the Lord. Verse 11 says that the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. The meek person is not a weak person. He's not the wimpy, milquetoast doormat. I'm not telling you to be a doormat and let people just walk all over you. Not at all. But the meek person is the one who has been strong enough and able to free himself from bitterness. Jesus quoted this verse in the Beatitudes when he said, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." And he showed us this truth by his own example. If anyone had a right to be bitter because of the way that he was treated, it would have been Jesus. Consider how he responded when the injustice was put upon him. In his prayer the night before he was crucified, he struggled with the terrifying thing that was about to happen to him. And he prayed in John 17:3, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." Jesus was willing to wait. He knew that things would not always be as hard as they were right then and they would be throughout that weekend. He knew that he would be glorified and he would be returned to the position of honor that he had before the creation of the world. And so he waited. And he changed the focus of his attention. He focused his prayer then on the disciples, starting in verse 9, thanking God for his followers, thinking about all the good things that had happened, and asking God's blessing upon these men who would end up changing the world. And then he acted. He did the work of the Lord. He went to the cross to overcome evil with good. He could have saved his earthly reputation and gotten even with those who had harmed him, but he acted constructively when he died so that we might live. There was no bitterness in Jesus. He asked God to forgive the very ones who were doing this evil, evil thing. He died for the very ones who caused his punishment. I'm talking about you and me. The first step in removing those terrible feelings of bitterness and anger and spite and resentment and hatred is to accept the forgiveness that is offered to you in Jesus Christ. Receive him as your Savior and let him take those things from your life and replace them with his peace. He will empower you with that ability to just wait and to change your focus of attention and to act constructively instead of destructively. God never promised that you wouldn't have enemies. You know, I had long thought that if I was a good person, I just loved everybody and did what was right, that it could be said of me at my funeral that he didn't have an enemy in the world. Well, I've learned that that's not going to be the case. In fact, the more that we do the will of God, the more likely it is that we will have some enemies. There will be people who don't like what you're doing. It's not a pleasant thought, I know. But that is why the Bible addresses this issue. It doesn't say, well, if you ever happen to have somebody who doesn't like you, then try to be nice. It says, love those who hate you and persecute you. Love your enemies. Don't let bitterness control your life. It starts as a root, and it grows and grows. But you can cut it off, and you can get rid of it if you really want to. And what a victory that is if you can do that. Knowing Jesus and his forgiveness is the real key. And if you have never received that forgiveness from the Lord, it starts there. You can't even begin to think about forgiving others until you've understood what God has done for you and received the forgiveness that he has offered to you. And then he gives you a power to do what you never would have imagined that you could do, and that is to forgive those who have hurt you and to move on from there and to act constructively and to do good.